Tomorrow is First Friday, the day of our First Friday Arts segment, and we mark the occasion with something like First Friday Eve. We bring in musician, performer, writer Josh Gross for a segment featuring bands coming to the region. It is called Rogue Sounds, and Josh is back in the studio once again. Second time in a few weeks because you were here with the puppets for your Puppeteers for Fears tour, which I guess takes you to Brookings tonight. So I'm glad you're able to squeeze us in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Jeffrey, I wouldn't miss this. This is the highlight of my month. The rest of the month, I just sit around going like, guys, you remember that time I was on JPR? That was pretty cool.
Somehow I sense it's a bit of a vibe.
I'll just lay face down on the couch and sigh heavily until then.
Give me a brief moment then about the things that you actually have been doing in real work. How far and wide have you been traveling since we talked to you about Puppeteers for Fear?
We headed south and we went all the way down to Hollywood. So we went through Sacramento, Hollywood, did Hollywood for 3 days, then kind of looped back up through California and Yosemite and went over to Idaho and then back through Central Oregon and then back down here. We're here for a couple days. Then we're going out on the coast and doing some more of Oregon. And then we're going to close next weekend with two local shows here in Ashland and Medford.
Oh, that's right. The 15th is the final?
14th and the 15th, mm-hmm. Yeah. 14th is in Medford, 15th is in Ashland. And so far, it's been pretty much sold out everywhere we've gone. It's kind of been astounding.
Wow. Yeah. Puppeteers for Fears on tour. Okay, let's get to other performers. Father John Misty coming to Brit later this month. Let's hear him right now.
Yeah.
One more wasted morning when I could be holding you to my side. Somebody stop this joy ride. I'm feeling older than my 35 years.
He's not really a father, is he?
No, he's not. And John Misty isn't even his name. His name is Joshua Tillman, I believe. Here's the thing. He's a wonderful songwriter and has a really nice, pretty voice. I don't think that's why you should go see him.
Okay, why should we?
Father John Misty has probably the biggest reputation, I'd say, in current live music for shooting his mouth off. And he, you know, it especially seems weird because, his songs are so sort of sweet and friendly and gentle. And then he just tends to, go off on these bizarre, stream of consciousness, quasi-political, somewhat, existential, somewhat sort of pseudo-scientific, conspiracy / critique rants on stage that can sometimes eclipse the entire show. And the thing is, no matter what he says, it inevitably becomes like Rolling Stones, you're never going to believe what your father John Misty just said on stage, because it could go any direction. So, I mean, this guy's he's like a pinball.
Is he on Twitter too, I wonder?
I don't think Twitter could contain him because it's known for length and volume. It's not just oh, here's a random comment. It's here's a 20-minute side note, footnote that's what? So the question is, the thing about seeing Father John Misty is, in addition to being, these great songs, it could be a totally unique experience because he does not have the same stage banter. You could be there the night that thing happened, and that's going to be what everyone's talking about for the next, internet cycle or whatever.
So then do you hear of audiences sitting there waiting for what's the big moment?
Oh, sure.
Away disappointed? He just sang songs?
Yeah, definitely. It's almost to the point where people are going looking away, going, all right, what's he going to pull this time? Or, or maybe the savvy audiences are looking for that. But I feel to me, the really good shows are the ones that are something unique, that have their own thing. It's not just oh, we go to the next show and next town and we do the exact same thing and it's, the same from place to place to place. And with Father John Misty, he may play the same songs, but it's never the same show.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. And he'll be at Brit on July 20th, and then that brings us to Derek Dion. Let's hear from him.
Yeah.
I'm a broken record, stuck on missing you, and it's the same old message I've been sending you.
So tell us a little bit about Derek Dion.
Derek Dion's a local guy, and he was featured on our Rogue Sounds compilation last year. He's still been working on getting ready to put out his debut EP. He may actually have copies of available. He's going to be performing at the Green Show in Ashland. And he doesn't perform very often because he's a little picky. He likes to make sure he does it just right. And he's a younger guy, and I really respect how diligently he's kind of gone about trying to rather than just going, here's recording gear. Which is usually what people do. He's been very diligent about trying to make the record he wants to make, and that's why it's taken a while. And he's getting ready to put it out, and it really does sound good. And he's got these great songs. And the thing I really like about his music is that he's pulling from a lot of these sort of like old soul vibes. And I remember being a, like when we were kids and we were into like punk, we were like, oh man, the next generation, they're just going to do lounge music because there's, you can't get any harder. So you're going to have to rebel by going the other direction. And, you know, it's like, well, look at that. They're doing this sweet, friendly, gentle soul and like, you know, jazz pop. And gosh darn it, if it isn't just the punkest thing I've ever heard. You know?
Punk in what sense?
Because it's a hostility to the status quo. You're saying like, hey, we hear all your rock, we're going to do something different. Hey, we hear all your soft rock, we're going to do something different. Punk isn't a sound and a haircut. It's you know, it's an ever-evolving hostility to the status quo and just to do it, trying to find your own way to do things. And sometimes that means making them as like clean and precise and polished as possible. It's just trying to find your own sound and go your own way. And I think he's done really well in doing that, and I think he has great songs, and the Green Show's going to be an interesting place to see that happen. You know, and I really appreciate the Green Show also like embracing any sort of like original local culture rather than like, hey, here's a bunch of old people playing Bob Dylan covers, right. You know, because
it is. It's gotten very comprehensive for several years now. That's the Green Show at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival Courtyard on July 21st for Derek Dion. And that brings us to Lung, which the pictures are really interesting.
I'm so
now
excited
I want to hear
this
sound.
One. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so first of all, what's the instrumentation here?
I was going to ask you, what do you think that is?
I saw the picture, so I know.
It's drums and cello. Uh-huh. And, you know, there's not a lot of cello in rock music, but, you know, the first time cello kind of became on my radar as a rock instrument was a group called Apocalyptica, who did an album of Metallica covers. And when you heard that, there was no way to deny, like, that it was, like, just a savage rock instrument. And since then, it's kind of, like, become... It's a little bit gimmicky. You know, there's like groups like Two Cellos who's just like, we do AC/DC covers, Apocalyptica, we do Metallica covers. They end up doing a lot of original stuff. One of the things I like about Lung, besides the fact that their songs are awesome, is that they're really kind of, they're not a like, hey, we're doing this kind of corny thing. They're just, this is the instrument I play, and it's just rocking and badass. And their stuff is really raw and intense, and it's super cool to see that sort of instrumentation bringing that kind of energy, especially because you don't see people rock that hard usually sitting down. It's hard to play the cello standing up, so it's, you know, it's...
I marvel at this through the history of recent popular music, the last half century plus, the idea that a band can't be interesting unless somebody's standing up and wailing into a microphone.
Well, it does really change the dynamic when you're standing up versus sitting down. I mean, like, it kind of feels like you're sitting, man, you couldn't even stand up for this. All right. You know, it's kind of like, put your back into it, buddy. Like, do you even want to be here? Like, what's going on? So it does make a difference, but, you know, it changes posture and everything, but like, you know, and changing posture also changes how, like, you sing, because it changes the orientation of your lungs and stuff like that, you know, but a lot of it is just presentation. Like, if the performers are sitting down, the audience feels like they should sit down. They're kind of like setting a frame. But with cello, it's like, it's an instrument that's primarily played sitting down. So it does really, when you bring that level of energy to it, it's really fascinating to see. And these guys, and they have just a huge, huge sound. So it's really a lot of fun.
It's a big sound for two people, you know, yeah. The cello and drum. So notice Chico on the 22nd.
Yeah, they're on a very, very, very lengthy tour. And they're going to be hitting a lot of places. They're going to be in Chico on July 22nd, the Jam in Arcata on the 24th. They're going to be here in Medford on July 25th at Johnny B's. And then they're going up to Eugene to play Old Nick's on July 26th.
It's a complete tour of the state of Jefferson.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, so let's move on now. We're talking to Josh Gross on this month's edition of Rogue Sounds here on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's hear some Jane Machine.
Look on your face, Jeffrey. It's amazing. You're like, what is this? I don't even know.
It's not quite with the old man voice, but I will say that I put the other can on for the headphones. I usually work with just one on, so I can hear the voice of the person in the studio. But the sound sounded like they were coming from behind me. This mix is so complete.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the cool things about electronic music is that oftentimes the mix is as much an instrument as the instruments themselves. You know, and it's tricky because there is this, like, in the world of electronic, there is, I don't want to say a hard division, but there is a distinction between analog and, you know, digital, because, like, analog, a lot of it, you're actually just inventing the sound as you go, turning knobs. Digital, you're sampling and moving things around, and it becomes much more about a studio process and then recreating that studio process on stage through sampling and, like, looping and stuff. And I actually don't know how much where Jane Machine falls kind of on that spectrum between the two. I know that they picked up a lot of their sound while sort of, like, living in Europe and come back to L.A., and this is launching this band. It's their first big West Coast tour. I think they've just played around LA for a while. But I really love that sound, that kind of like almost sort of like dream pop from a negative dystopia kind of world, like a little Blade Runner-y, you know.
Come to the Outer World Colonies.
Yeah, kind of, you know, it's the siren song of the sewer, as or something, you know, it's like, come down into the muck and let's see what we get. We're having a dance party. You know, I just think it's a great sound. I think it's really great and dreamy, and I love synthesizers, so I'm curious to see that one goes. And I'd love to see more music of that style, like, coming through the area, because it's, you know, we're good on old people playing Bob Dylan covers, as we covered earlier.
There we go again. Old people at Bob Dylan covers. Right. I can see what are not on your posters.
You know, culture has to change. It has to evolve. It has to do new things. It has to reflect what's happening in the time. And when you know, a sort of nostalgic culture is a dead culture. And when we're constantly going like, hey, remember that time we had everything perfect and then nothing ever changed after that? It's like, no, everything has changed every day since then.
Well, there's a whole realm of sociology there, particularly how long it is taking the baby boomers, myself included, to get off the stage, in a sense, to allow the later generations to assume their place.
Oh, Jeffrey, go tell it on the mountain. I mean, we're on the radio, so it's basically the same thing. But yes, yeah, that, you know. So I'm with you.
It's a mountain, in the valley. I do want to ask about this venue, Johnny B's.
Sure.
It shows up so often. How many people can it hold?
Oh, Johnny's is not that big. It's probably, I think he's probably around maybe 100 people-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, and Johnny's used to be here in Ashland. It was called Daddy-O's.
Oh, yeah.
It's used to be where the Vinyl Club is now, and it was, you know, like the punk club. And it kind of became this just spot on the touring circuit when bands would come through town. That's where they'd go. He moved out to Medford. He's in the Macy's building now, and it's kind of like got this old, like, rock and roll diner vibe. And
Woolworth,
you know,
building, isn't it?
Yes, sorry. Thank you. And, you know, it's not that it's a particularly nice place. John, if you're listening, I'm not trying to slam on your place at all. It's mostly just that he has a fair, like an open kind of, like, a lot of places they're like, well, okay, if we're going to book you, how many people are you going to bring? All right, you know, here's what we do, and here's what, you know, and this very kind of rigid formula. Like, and they have just kind of a, like, look, we just like music. We like stuff that's loud. This is what we do. They have kind of like a looser policy. And sometimes that means you'll go there and it is the worst thing you've ever seen. It's just, you know, there's three people there and they're all going, God, this band is painful. But you also go there and you'll see the most incredible thing you've ever seen, because they kind of open the door wide. I've seen, you know, chainsaw juggling and magic acts and, you know, fire and, you know, bands called Tyrannosaurus Rex that are really trying to do, like, Hedwig and the Angry Inch is a real thing. I've seen, you know, tubas, and I've seen marching bands, and I've seen doom metal and all this stuff, because they just have kind of a broad open policy. And when you have an open door, like, sometimes it brings in the riffraff, but sometimes it brings in something marvelous that you'll never see.
You take your chances, sure.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a good thing for music. Throw stuff at the wall and some of it sticks.
We just got a minute to squeeze in Junior Brown here.
Yeah. Oh, God, Junior Brown.
Gal, it's mighty peculiar. She's got a funny state of mind. Oh, she likes all kinds of singers. She'll only dance to just one kind.
I don't think I expected to hear that sound come in. I see you snapping your fingers.
I love Junior Brown. Junior Brown is like the Van Halen of country guitar. If you've never seen this guy play, it is just, your mind will just blow up and your heart will burst with joy. It is so fun. He's so good. He plays this custom, like, hybrid / slide steel guitar. And he just does these great old, like, it's not even country music, it's Western music. It's where it's like almost like a cartoon, just these cowboy songs about, like, I'm working for the highway patrol. You know, it's like the kind of songs where they almost sound like a gag, but he's just doing them because it's just good, fun, honest, creating characters, and he's so good at the guitar. It is just, like watch jaw on the ground. Like.
And this is the Rogue Theater on August 1st?
Yeah, I'm so excited about that one. I got to see him at South by Southwest once in Austin, and I cried. I cried like a small child.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. So it was like in a church and everything. I was like, take me to church, Junior Brown. Let's do this.
All right.
Now I'm Jewish, so we don't say take us to church very often. That's a weird thing for us to say.
It is always an adventure having you in the studio, Josh Gross. Wonderful, as always, to have you here for Rogue Sounds.
Okay.
And best of luck with finishing up the tour with Puppeteers.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here.